Hey, everybody. Welcome back. These episodes of My Wave Podcast are a little bit different. Usually we talk about the surfer's wave that she wants to relive, re-ride. It's burned in their brain. We talk about that story on most of these, but some recent events and different things have got our minds thinking about etiquette, what to do, what not to do when surfing. And I've got two rad lads here with me tonight, Chris Bradley, to my right. You remember like those football games, you know, kicking off from left of the dial to the right of the dial. Anyway, and then doing the wave over here, we've got Gibbs Kramer. So, this episode brought to you by Never Nude. Never Nude. Follow them at Never Nude, NVRNOOD. Changing towels that'll change your life. Something very important to have in your surf equipment is a changing towel. Anyway, check them out on Instagram at Never Nude. All right, this episode, Chris and Gibbs, we are going to talk about the paddle out. Okay, so the paddle out, we have two distinct times, I believe, you paddle out. One, when you first get to the water. You know, it's time to paddle out. And did you feel that wind pick up just as we started talking?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Spooky out here.
Yeah, it is. It's getting closer to Halloween. Can't wait. Yeah. So paddling out, you've got all your equipment. Make sure you got your leash, your board's waxed up. You got your sunscreen on. You got your right gear, wetsuit, top, whatever you need for the conditions. You assess the conditions on the beach, and now you're making a choice to paddle out. Guys, where should I paddle out? What help me walk through this?
I would say it should start before you even get to the spot.
All right. How so?
Well, depending on your skill set, if you've been surfing for a year versus 20 years, you should decide where you want to go based off your skill set. If you want to go somewhere where you can be alone and you can surf, mess up, look like a kook, do whatever, and not interfere with other people's session, you should not go to places that are well known or that have cameras already, like South End or C Street. You should go somewhere a little bit more remote, a little bit less people, and your chances of hurting yourself, hurting somebody else, or just ruining the session are much lower.
All right. And so you're looking at according to your ability.
Yes.
Assess the situation.
Yeah, definitely.
And
if you want to go to South End with all your friends, I mean, by all means, that's fine. But I mean, that's what we're here to talk about.
So. Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening in, you know, we are at Wrightsville Beach. So we're naming places and different things that are relatable to us. But you take these scenarios and put them in where you're at. We want to help you not kook out on the paddle out or anytime in the water. So you're going to say something?
Yeah. So when you're looking at the beach, you mm-hmm. get there and you've got, I mean, there's crowds. Everybody's crowded in certain areas. There's no need to paddle out in that thick crowd.
Right.
Go down a little bit. You can work your way over into that crowd.
Yeah.
Go down away from it.
And sometimes that crowd may be there because it's the peak of, I mean, it's the only spot that's firing. Other times it's because it's a whole bunch of friends and they just want to hang out together.
Sometimes. And it's the law of attraction, man. Yeah. Everybody wants to surf with other people. It's like nobody wants to go surf by themselves. It's like, oh, if there's people over there, it must be good.
Right. And so. The safety thing, you know, hey, right. I'd like somebody in the water near me in case of a shark attack.
Yeah, sure.
I get stung by a jelly or whatever. So we're looking at the beach. We're looking at the conditions. We see the crowds. We're assessing our ability. And now we enter the water. How do I get out?
Well,
what's the best way?
Determine your spot. Sorry. If you're going a beach break, just walk straight out. But if you're somewhere with rocks or whatever, you got to find a keyhole. But I mean, for here, you look for things like rip tides, mm-hmm. rip currents, and look at the period of the swell.
Okay.
If you got a super long period, you got to wade and watch the swell to see like, all right, well, there's roughly 3 to 5 waves that come in. And it's a decent amount of time. I think I could paddle out in between.
Okay.
Or it's like a 9-second wind swell, and you're just fighting the chop and fighting the sets and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. So you mentioned looking for a rip current. What's a rip current going to do for me, Chris?
Rip current's going to make it easy to get out.
All right. So what do I don't know what a rip current looks like. Tell us what a rip current looks like.
Well, on every beach access, there's a sign, and it talks about the rip current.
Right.
So the rip current, you can actually see it in the water. It's the, in layman's terms, the water's running the opposite direction that the rest of the water is.
Right.
And you can see it. It's rippled. It's
brown.
It's dirty.
Turbulent.
Yeah, because it's pulling up the sand from the bottom, and it's also it's pushing the wave. It's jacking the waves up when it's. You know, so the waves are breaking, and there's one spot, and it seems like that one spot is kicking the wave up a little bit.
Right.
And it's just very, it's more, the water's more textured there. Mm-hmm. So it's an easier paddle out.
Right.
And then once you get out to where you need to be at, then you paddle parallel with the beach to get out of it.
It's an easier paddle out because it's like a conveyor belt. You're just joining the water that's already trying to bust its way out through the sandbars. And so you're jumping on that and getting out. And then you can go north or south to where your friends are or whatever.
You can have those at both tides. For those that don't know, it's not just a low tide or a high tide thing. You can, they're for both tides.
Yes. They're for both tides. And especially on a bigger wave day, it's dumping more water in the trough. Right. All that water's building up. It's got to go somewhere, and it finds a weak spot in the bar and a river heading out. So find those, join those, and use them to your advantage. All right. So, I've paddled out. That's the this is the first paddle out. The second paddle out that I'm thinking of is after I've caught a wave. But and this scenario that I'm going to present happens either on your first paddle out of the day, or it can happen after you've caught a wave. So I'm paddling back out, and a wave is breaking to my left. A surfer is dropping in on that wave and coming my direction. So he's on a left wave coming my direction. I have a choice at this point. You know, calculating in my mind, it appears that he might run me over. She might drill me. What do I do? So what Chris, what would you do?
I have the confidence in the water. If I see somebody coming at me, I think I'm gonna take that effort and try to outrun it.
Okay.
I'm gonna dive deep. I'm gonna duck dive deep. I'm going to get small underwater. That way, if he goes over top of me over water, I know I need to be about, you know, the shallowest I need to be is about 7-8 inches. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If it's a longboard, about 12.
Right.
So.
Right. Now you're an experienced surfer.
Right.
You are a strong surfer. And so you have that ability to calculate his speed, her speed, the surfer's speed coming towards you, and the wave in proximity to you. It's breaking and coming my way. I can over paddle this guy that's coming. But let's say you can't. What do you do, Gibbs?
Well, for most people, I mean, if you're not sitting here looking at him, he's jacked. So he's stronger than most guys. But I mean, for me, plenty of times, and for plenty of other people I know, you're in a situation where the guy just dropped in. You can't tell if he's about to pump super hard down the line and go really fast, or if he's just going to take it slow. So usually what I do is I assess like how far out I am compared to the wave. Like if the wave is like 50 feet in front of me or if it's 15, mm-hmm. and how far away the guy is dropping in on the peak. If it
from
looks
you.
Like from me,
yeah.
Like if I'm looking straight out at the ocean, I try to assess from the nose of my board a 45 degree angle. If it's on the inside of the 45 degrees. So like if you make that 45 degree to your left, if it's on the inside, then odds are you're going to make it out past him. But if it's on the outside or further out, you might want to stay on the inside. And what I do is I will either wait, I'll sit there and let him pass me completely, so ride past the front of my board and let him ride in front of me, or I will stop, paddle to, for in this instance, paddle to my left.
The direction he's coming.
The direction that he's coming, not paddling with him, because if you paddle with him, you're not going to go faster. And so I will paddle with him or across his direction.
So basically, you're looking at paddling towards the white water.
Correct.
The wave is breaking.
Yes. You want to paddle towards the peak of the wave where he's already surfed.
Right.
In where he was previously. You don't want to paddle towards him because he's trying to think about surfing the wave.
Right.
And so I, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to take it on the head mm-hmm. and just duck dive or get worked by the wave.
Right.
So I don't have to ruin that guy's wave or get hit.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's for his enjoyment, his safety, and your safety as well. Just if you can calculate everything going on and make it across because you know your ability, go for it. If you can't, the safest, best, turn, paddle the direction of the waves breaking, take it on the head, and let that surfer continue on down the line. He'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
You'll appreciate it because he's not going to paddle back out and chew you out. Or you've got, you know, skeg marks in your back or in your board.
Yeah.
Literally, nobody wants that.
Last night, I was surfing with some friends just north of Mercer's. And this dude that was on a longboard, he was kind of ripping. And he was just paddling out, chill. And then I looked over and there was this child, like, on top of him. There was this little kid shortboarder that just, like, ran him over.
No way.
Like, literally just ran him over. And, like, he kind of, the board kind of stopped on the top of that guy's back. Oh. And he just, like, kind of fell over. I mean, it was a kid, so it wasn't, like, a super hard impact. The waves were small, but it was just, like, dude, that kind of stuff sucks. I mean, whether it was the guy's fault or the kid's fault, I mean, it's kind of hard because it's a kid. So, I mean, in that situation, if I were the longboarder, I either would have just paddled back into the whitewater, or I just would have sat where I was or paddled, just not even paddle out. I would have paddled way far to the left past where the wave would have broken at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Past the shoulder.
Yeah, we're not all Ben Gravy and can ollie.
I was getting, that's the only thing that's coming to my mind. It's like, why didn't this kid just ollie over the guy on the longboard? I mean,
he's just not gnarly enough.
So really, you're trying to get out because you want to enjoy the waves. You're trying to get out as safely as possible, whether it's your first time out in the lineup or after you've caught a wave. One of the things that I have often gotten irritated with and have let some people know, and it's typically people I know, but when you've caught a wave and you've either eaten it or kicked out, get back quick. You know, don't lollygag inside in the white water because you're in everybody's way.
Right.
And as you know, we'll get into on a future episode, you're the surfer on the wave. What do you do as you're dropping in, seeing people paddling out, especially around here? You get a decent day, there's going to be 500 guys in the south end.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be crowded spots up and down the beach. And so as the surfer, what do I need to do in preparation for taking off on the wave? But one of the things we talk about as we're paddling back out is this whole idea of duck diving and ditching, to duck dive or ditch. And so we were talking right before this, ditching is a no-no. And what do we mean by ditching, Chris? It's
getting rid of your board.
Just kicking it aside.
Just kicking it to the side. Doesn't, you know, no regard of anybody else around. Whether if there's a guy on a wave in front of you, it's a closeout set. We're not thinking about the wave behind that, but you're kicking your board out. And just you're diving down because you don't have the ability to go under or hold onto your board.
Right. Right. Is there ever a safe time to ditch your board?
Yeah, wave number one on Hurricane Surf on a three-wave set. You're not going to make it out on a closeout section coming through.
Right, right.
You ditch the first wave so you can get back on your board and ride in the second wave.
There you go. Yeah. So you can get back on the beach.
Yeah, you shouldn't be out there.
You shouldn't be there.
If you're having to ditch.
You're pushing that Control-Alt-Delete button and you're going to have to start over from the beach.
Command cut.
There's a name of a board that needs to be made. The Control-Alt-Delete. So I mean, is there an opportunity? You're paddling out. It's obvious. You're on a log, and this thing is walling up.
Right.
I could turtle roll. I could try that. But if I look back and I clear myself, there's nobody behind me. There's nobody on the wave. Is that acceptable to ditch?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're in a situation where you know the surroundings, you're aware of everything around you, and you know there's nobody behind you, you're not really in a situation where there's a bunch of people on the outside that are going to want to be catching the next wave.
Right.
It's totally reasonable. I mean, for the most part, ditching is a no-no in terms of crowded environments, big waves where there's people paddling out constantly, or like areas where there's a big rip current that can just carry you down the beach taking too long.
Right. 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 So learn to duck dive.
Yeah.
Learn to turtle roll. Learn to get stronger outside the water so you can paddle faster in the water.
Push-ups. I will say, I know a guy, name drop, Craig Newkirk.
Uh-huh.
He duck dives every single one of his longboards.
Yes.
He is a big dude. He rides like 9.0s, 9.2s, 9.3s.
Mm-hmm.
Nice boards.
Yeah.
He duck dives every time.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. You can do it. It's possible. Just do some push-ups.
Yeah, push-ups, burpees, anything you can do.
Fingertip push-ups.
That's right. That's right. So this is a quick and easy episode here, guys. As you're paddling out, be aware. As you're paddling out, know which direction you're going. Think ahead to a scenario. What will you do in it? How safe can you be? How safe can you keep others? Anything else we can add to this before we wrap this episode up?
I think that's the first level of communication in surfing, and paddle on that paddle out. You know, verbal and nonverbal.
Right. Right. Like verbal would be you. Yeah. I'm inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because sometimes that surfer dropping in doesn't see you.
Right.
Because he's focused on the wave.
You're not. We're not flight controllers. We're not going to be out there doing hand signals at people. Don't hit me.
Right.
So give them a hoot. Yeah. Let them know you're there.
Yeah. Try to make eye contact with them too. Because they're not oblivious. I mean, if they're looking around and you make eye contact with them, then you know they know you're there.
I mean, this is 2021. Maybe we should send them a text or a snap.
Hey,
I'm over here.
Let's end it on that, ladies and gentlemen.
Feel the connection, whoa.